T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 203 on the Fan, and a very good Thursday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 625 tonight. We'll take you up to the pregame show as the Yankees continue their unbelievable dominance over the brutal Baltimore Orioles. And, of course, the game starting at 7, a little after 7 tonight. Ernie Acosta. He is in Manhattan, and we're live from the Town Fair Tire studio, where nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro. How are you?
Well, I mean, I'm okay. You know, last
night. Brutal Met loss. It was brutal. You know, last night, let's be honest, brutal. Last night, baseball was, it was typical New York baseball. Brutal Met loss. They did everything they could to lose a game that they should have won. And the Yankees just beat up on the Baltimore Orioles in Camden Yards for the 16th straight time.
It was like we were still in 2019. I mean, everything about it. You know, all you got to do is remind yourself the differences between 2020 and 2019, and you can see the differences everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
But last night, if you ignored the fact there was a preseason hockey game going on between the Islanders and the Rangers.
I put it on for 5 minutes just in time to see Bevelier scored a goal on Shesterkin.
You didn't see Johnny Boychuk?
Oh, I did. No, actually, I did see that. Yes. Actually, now that you mentioned that, I did see that, too. I saw the highlights of that. I didn't see it live. I saw the goal live, you know.
Yeah, I had all three going last night, but if I just ignored the hockey game and we looked at the New York baseball, it was 2019 all over again because right out of the gate, I mean, we are 30 seconds into Yankees Orioles, 30 seconds into it, and DJ LeMahieu, who really is a machine. That's his nickname. He's the machine. He's a machine. I mean, he had 4 hits last night, but forget the other 3. Let's get to the first one. Right out of the gate, kind of reminds the Orioles who the hell they are putting up 1-0. And then you see Pedro Severino have not one but 2 catcher's interferences in 1 inning. I don't know if I've ever seen that, Joe, to be honest with you.
They actually said, I heard Kay, I believe on the broadcast, said that it was the first time it happened twice. And it happened in 1 inning. But the last time it even happened in a game for the Yankees, I think it only might have happened once with 2 catcher's interference.
Yes.
And it actually was Jacoby Ellsbury.
I remember
times.
That. I don't know why I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
For some reason, I just recall Jacoby getting on base twice because of catcher's interference.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, he mentioned it's probably never happened in Yankee history because the only time there's been 2-1 game is that exception.
Right.
I don't know if we've ever seen something like that in the history of baseball. And I actually felt bad for Severino, the catcher, because not only is he getting his glove knocked off, which is his fault, then he took a foul ball off his body. So he was getting beat up in the first inning. But the Yankees jump off to a good start. You know, Gerrit Cole, what's interesting about Cole so far is that, and this is a compliment towards him, he hasn't been that sharp. You know, even last night, he wasn't that sharp.
He kind of pitched to the score a little bit last night, though. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, he got into the seventh inning.
Yep.
I think he did a little bit of that. You know,
kind
of pitched to the score. And, you know, great pitchers do that. I mean, sometimes, why not? You know,
great pitchers pitch well in their first two starts when they're not sharp in either, and I think that was the case with Gerrit Cole.
Right.
You know, he ran into trouble in the first inning, especially right out of the gate when he walked Austin Hayes. He gave up that RBI double to Iglesias, and then he had a run where he was retiring everybody. Yep. But I was surprised, not bad surprised, good surprised, by the way, that Aaron Boone let him start the seventh inning, because I thought at 87 pitches through six innings with a big lead, and the Yankees haven't played in a couple of days, I thought he was going to be in a rush to get him out. He actually let him start the seventh inning, got the first two guys out, and out of nowhere he gave up those back-to-back doubles. Or I think it was three straight doubles. It was a double, a two-run homer, then a double before he finally got him out of the game. But look, overall, I mean, Gerrit Cole's been impressive, and I think a part of being impressive is that when you don't have your A-plus stuff, you're still able to pitch well.
Yeah, no. Hey, look, he's a horse. I mean, you know, no doubt about it. Look, we've seen that for years with all the great pitchers. We've seen it with DeGrom for, you know, over all the years. Look, the Yankees are good. I mean, it's uncanny, though, how they just destroyed the Orioles.
That is uncanny, Joe.
I mean, 16 straight games they've beaten them. You know, a couple other guys, Hicks goes deep, Judge goes deep. They hit home runs off them left and right. It's unreal. I mean, they average like almost 8 runs a game there. Crazy. It's crazy.
They hit
43 home runs there in 10 games last year. That's almost five. That's over 4 home runs a game.
And it's too easy to simply say, well, yeah, but the Orioles are terrible and the Yankees are really good. Now, those are facts that we know.
It is. But occasionally, you know, especially in your own home ballpark, can you, like, win a game occasionally?
It's baseball. Like, right? Just because one team is a lot better than the other team doesn't mean they should handle them 15 straight times. And what was funny about last night is right out of the gate, they remind you of everything they did last year. From DJ hitting the home run in the first, to Judge hitting the home run in the third, to Aaron Hicks. I give Aaron Hicks this, man. When he hits a home run from the left side, he's got that Griffey pose. Every time he hits a bomb.
Yeah, right.
I do admire that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, there was never really
doubt. I do
really
the Griffey pose when I hit a good drive, I have to tell you.
Why not?
Anytime I hit a good shot, man, I'm like, I just stand there and just kind of watch it for a while. You know? It doesn't happen all the time.
No, I get it. I get it. I think the only concern you ever had in this game is when Boone went to Luis Avalon and he walked, you know, DJ Stewart, and it's a 7-3 game. But even then, you knew you had the big horses if Aaron Boone needed to go to them. And they get themselves a victory against the Baltimore Orioles. There's certainly a lot of questions about what's going to happen next week now with the Philadelphia Phillies, because they're going to be shut down for the weekend. But you know what? Yankees play, they win. That's the way you got to look at it. No matter who's on the schedule, just go play them and just go beat them. That's
it. No question about it. And you fully expect that they're going to win again tonight. I mean, I'd be very, very surprised if that was not the case, that they don't to continue this dominance, 17 in a row in Camden Yards.
Well, the Orioles are due, Joe.
They're due, but it is unbelievable. It really is.
You know, it is. It's
uncanny. Did not. Did you bet the plus 270?
No.
You did not.
Because, you know what, as big a number as that
was. The number's going to be even bigger tonight, although you don't have Cole pitching
tonight. No. Won't be because of the Cole thing.
Right, that's true.
The Cole thing is, see, tonight's a more even, I won't say even pitching matchup, but it's a closer pitching matchup. John Means had a really good year last year for the Orioles. And if you remember John Means, early on last year, he came out of the bullpen and actually looked good. Orioles moved him to the rotation, ended up being an all-star. I think his one start against the Yankees wasn't very good. And then you got Jay Happ, who's very up and down. So the pitching matchup's a little bit closer tonight. But it's 15 in a row at Camden Yards. The one thing
is... I think it's 16.
It was 15 yesterday.
Right,
yes, 16 in a row. The one thing, and I don't know what the answer is to this, because we talked about this with the Mets, and we'll get into their debacle in a second.
Oh, God.
But how patient you want to be with guys slumping, because it's 3 games, it's 4 games, it's 5 games, you can't get nuts. And, you know, Pete Alonso showed you that last night on the Mets side.
4 hits.
But here's the difference, and I'm going to bring up a specific guy. I'm not just trying to pick on him. It has to do with the depth, and that's Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner went 0-for-4 last night with 4 strikeouts. He's off to an 0-for-11 start this season with 7 strikeouts. So he's off to a terrible start. We know it. It's not the end of the world. He's Brett Gardner. He's a veteran. I'm sure he'll get hot. And Gardner is a very streaky hitter. So this isn't about burying Brett Gardner or picking on Brett Gardner. It has nothing to do with it. Here's what it has everything to do with, Joe. You have Mike Tauchman, and you have Miguel Andujar. And you'll want to get them at-bats. And they're young guys. And they're guys that could be a part of this team moving forward. And so I wonder, you know, a night like tonight, it's easy to sit Gardner because there's a lefty on the mound.
Right.
But I do wonder how Aaron Boone will handle this outfield rotation in terms of, it's only 3-4 games. It's not like you're worried about Gardner, but it's more, man, I want to get Miguel Andujar's bat in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I want to play him.
Well, you probably would see him tonight, you would think.
I think we'll definitely see him tonight. Let's see how it goes.
Don't we have Boone tonight later on?
We do, coming up at 5 o'clock.
Right.
But it's not even just tonight. It's moving forward. You know, how patient are you with a guy slumping, especially, Joe, when you got as much depth as the Yankees have?
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, you hit it right on the head. So, you know, probably not. Look, there'll be some patience. I always say, and look, not that Gardner has to play every day because he doesn't. Right. But I always say it's all about winning. If you win, the patience quotient is always longer. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I always look at it that way. And Gardner's going to get his at-bats, and I'd be confident with Boone. He's going to get, you know, his guys' at-bats. And look, he said when I talked to him, I don't know if you were out, but he said nobody's playing 60 games. I mean, right. Boone basically said that. You know, guys are going to get rest. You know, and he's going to give guys days off. So he's going to get the guys the at-bats. And I would fully think we'll see Andujar today.
Yeah, and also the combination with Aaron Hicks, a guy who you're also going to make sure he's fresh based on his injury history.
Absolutely.
I also think there's a reaction that most of us have where we'd rather see the young players, the guys with the higher upside. And even though Brett has been a tremendous Yankee, especially when you think what he's done.
Great Yankee. When you think that how long he's been there. Homegrown Yankee and his entire career with the Yankees. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Hell of a Yankee.
Yeah.
But you've got a guy that should have won Rookie of the Year sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
It's weird to say this, but I really feel this way for now about the Yankees. Aaron Boone's biggest problem is that. And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Getting all his guys at bats, of course.
That's probably his biggest issue he's facing. Yeah. But they will play the Orioles again tonight. And the other thing that I think clearly reminded us of last year is that when the Mets lost games, they were brutal. Like, they've already had two horrific losses this year.
You know, forget the blowout game they got killed by Atlanta. The other two losses were just horrific, typical Met losses. I mean, they should have won both games. And then in the ninth inning, this workman, whoever this guy is, tries to hand the Mets the game, and they can't get it done. I mean, look, they left guys on all night. There's a million points in this game. What, did they get 15 hits last night? Leave 1,000 guys on, whatever it was.
Yeah, 15 hits, 11 guys left on base.
Even in the ninth inning, you know, they tried to hand them the game. They couldn't get it done. You know, Conforto, Cespedes, Cano, none of them got the big hit.
There are a lot of things that drove me nuts last night, including one which I think was just a mistake managing by Luis Rojas, which I'll get to. But the most frustrating thing last night was their lack of big hit. And it was frustrating early because, yet again, with one of the best pitchers on the planet on the mound, one or two, take your pick, they couldn't back up Jacob DeGrom. And it's become obnoxious, Joe, because it happens all the time. This isn't a bad luck year anymore. This has become a bad luck career.
No question about it. It really is unbelievable. And the Mets, look, they had two big double plays they hit into in this game. You know, there was a number of opportunities, and I did take the lead when Jimenez, and he looked pretty. I didn't realize this guy got a little pop in his bat, this Andrés Jimenez, who hits that triple that gave him the lead there with Jake still on the mound in the sixth inning. But you knew, even when they jumped out to that 3-2 lead there, I never felt comfortable in this game. I really just didn't, with the big relief pitches coming in.
Before we even get to how this bullpen blew it, you have two on and nobody out in the fourth inning, Cano double play. You mentioned it.
Yep.
In the fifth inning, you've got two on, one out, Conforto double play.
Yep.
You've got two on, one out.
And both of those double plays were like not hard hit balls.
No.
Where, like, you know, the Red Sox made these crazy double plays to get out of the inning.
Su-Wei Lin made good defensive plays on both accounts.
Yep.
They had chances in the seventh inning. They had chances in the eighth inning. And then the obvious one, the exclamation point, is in the ninth inning where they have bases loaded, nobody out, by a few, and they score one run. You have bases loaded, nobody out, down by two with your best hitters coming up. It is, and I feared it, because as it happened, as Conforto came up, I said, boy, they are just setting us up for another brutal 2019-esque loss.
Yep.
Everything about it, Conforto
even the last out when Cano hit that little line drive for a second, I thought it was going to dunk in.
I did too.
For a second, I thought it was dunking in, and then the shortstop just comes. It was like one of those humpback line of deals.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as the bullpen's concerned, all right, here's the bottom line. Seth Lugo made a bad pitch. Okay.
Yep. Well,
that happens.
As Keith called it, a helicopter.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And it was. And Christian Vasquez didn't miss
it. Yep.
So Seth Lugo failed. But here's where the manager failed.
Justin Wilson.
Well, he stuck with Justin Wilson way too long. Yeah. When he walks, as good as Xander Bogaerts is.
You think he's overused Wilson already this year? I think that was like his fourth appearance in six games now.
I don't necessarily think that's why he struggled. It may have been. I don't know. Bottom line is he didn't have it. He walked Xander Bogaerts on four pitches with a runner on first and nobody out. That can't happen. At that point, I would have strongly – I don't care if a lefty – I don't care what's coming up. Get him out of the game. And they were given a gift because Andrew Benintendi bunting was stupid. So if you want to blame Renicky, you want to blame Benintendi, I don't know
they
where
had
it came
you know
from.
What? And on that play, they had him at third. They had the guy at third base. If he played at third base, I think they had him by a mile.
They did, but it was a dumb, dumb play because you knew the Mets would just walk J.D. Martinez. And you can't take the bat out of the hands of J.D. and give the Mets an out. So I loved it. When he laid down the bunt, I was happy. But if you want to say, all right, lefty's coming up, and look, Mitch Moreland ends up hitting this little ground ball. It was very unlucky.
McNeil had no chance on that play, man.
Fine. If you want to defend Rojas for keeping him in there, fine. I disagree, but okay. After that, you got the right-hand hitting Christian Vasquez coming up. You got Dellin Betances warming up. Why is he warming up?
Yeah.
What's the point of him?
Yeah. No, you're right. That was a bad job. I agree with you 100%. Yep.
And then he kept him in again. Yeah, because another lefty's coming up?
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Look, Justin Wilson faces lefties, he faces righties. He can face both. If he's ineffective, other than a lefty named me coming up, get him out. He was clearly ineffective. I know there was some bad luck involved, I understand that, but there wasn't bad luck involved when he walks in Xander Bogaerts on four pitches. That's not bad luck.
Yeah.
That's no control. So for the first time, I really thought...
In there. Now, I agree. He missed it yesterday.
He missed it. He went to him too late. By that point, it's a three-run game. It's the first time I thought Rojas just did a bad job. I did a bad job managing that inning. Now, that doesn't excuse the offense. That doesn't excuse the lack of execution. I'm not saying that.
Another thing, too, I would have done. No, a couple things that I'm nitpicking here. First of all, Rene Rivera had a terrible game behind the plate. You know, those two wild pitches, I mean, you could have blocked them. You know, and I also thought that Jake got squeezed.
Yes.
When before Moreland hit that double off the wall, I think it was Moreland.
Yes.
He clearly struck him out. I mean, it wasn't even debatable. The ball's over the plate.
Yes.
And the umpire missed a few in this game. He missed some, you know, for the Mets as well.
Yes.
Hoyt home plate umpire?
Mike Estabrook.
Estabrook. I mean, and I thought that really unnerved Jake. And I thought that's one of the reasons why you also saw maybe Rivera should have made the plays, but, you know, Jake threw those wild pitches.
But you know what? You know what? I'm not making excuses for Jacob DeGrom because, look, he did throw those wild pitches.
No, you got to overcome that.
And you got to overcome it. But here's what I am just so sick of. I am just so sick of every Jacob DeGrom start featuring the margin of error being a quarter of an inch like it is.
With that said, would you not have pinch hit? Because I would have done this. Hey. After Jimenez hits the triple to give him the lead 3-2, there's two out, a runner at third, Rivera coming up. Don't you bat Ramos there? To me, that was a huge run they left at third base.
Yes.
And I would not have let Rene Rivera hit there. I would have hit Wilson Ramos right then and there. They needed that run. I wouldn't have messed around right there. That was a big run to me.
It's early in the game, or relatively
it wasn't
early.
Wasn't that early?
It's the
sixth inning, and DeGrom's out of the game now.
Yeah.
Get him another run.
No, I would have done that because Rene Rivera basically turned into the pitcher spot yesterday.
Yes.
He struck out every time he was up.
He was terrible.
He was awful. No, I'm with you. I think that's a move you could have made. Absolutely. I'm not going to get nuts about it, but I get it. You know, Rene Rivera's not much of a bat. Now, he did go to Wilson Ramos in two innings later, and he bounces into a double play.
He did. He did. But I still would have went to Ramos there. Big run, third base, get that run in. That, to me, that was a huge run that they left out there.
Well, they just...
at least a chance to.
They just failed over and over again, whether it was against Nate Eovaldi or it was against Walden or Osich, you name the guy.
Terrible.
They just failed to get the big hit.
Yep,
I mean, you go 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position, you fail inning in, inning out, including the topper in the ninth inning, which was just tough to watch. It was brutal to watch.
Brutal. I agree.
So it's... What reminded me so much of a year ago is that when the Mets lost games in 2019, they didn't just lose them. They were all brutal, awful losses.
Yep.
Now, I get it. It's only six games into the season, in a season that may never even be completed, in a season in which eight teams make the playoffs. I get that. But you know what? As I'm watching that ninth inning and as I couldn't go to sleep last night, that didn't sink in enough to make me feel better. I tried to tell myself
that I was very aggravated.
But it doesn't work.
I was very aggravated last night. I was.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to say it. It was a terrible.
Sick
it was a brutal freaking loss, and all night long I could feel it. I just not have a good feel about this game all night long.
Bases loaded, nobody out. Even after Alonso hits that little blooper that falls in, and good for him going 4-for-4.
It was good.
But even then, you didn't feel
nice
like this night.
To save the home run for the ninth inning.
Wow.
Would have been
if
good.
Only it worked out that way.
And he actually had a couple good at-bats. He had that, and he had a single two he hit hard. And Cano even had a couple good at-bats where he got a couple hits, hit some line drives. He'd been going to left field. But with the game on the line, and I really thought that was dropping in with Cano, I got to tell you.
Yeah, no, off the bat
Made it even worse. Yep. Like that was just the top of it, and I got that last moment of tease.
Yes.
That I thought the ball was going to drop in.
To the very end, you get that tease.
Yep.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.